So I'm going to ask you to do something that every homiletics professor would discourage. And as a preacher, I'm going to take a risk. And I need for you all to play along. And I need for you to be obedient just this one time. Okay? So here's the deal. I'm going to ask you in a minute to close your eyes. But the deal is you have to wake up. You have to open them later. You are not to keep them closed. Okay, are you ready? All right, close your eyes. Please think of the most awe-inspiring moment of your life. Whether it's standing in the Grand Canyon, whether it's a breeze from the ocean, whether it's an incredible hurricane power wind, perhaps seeing your children born, or maybe it's your grandchildren. Find that most awe-inspiring moment in your life. Imagine it now. All right. Open your eyes. Nobody's sleeping on me up here, okay? So, what did you see? Did that imagination, that awe, leave you speechless? Something in you snapped a picture of it again in your mind? Is it something that left you dumbfounded and amazed? Something that put, you know, just that little lump in your throat? Certainly it was something inspiring, right? We all love to share with others the things that inspire us because we all love those things that inspire us. Today, we will be inspiring glory. We will see inspiring glory. Jesus had performed several incredible miracles up to this point of our scripture. He has cast out demons. He has healed a woman with a 12-year-old ailment. He has raised a daughter from the dead. He has fed 5,000. He has fed 4,000. These acts were so compelling that Peter declared, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." The disciples were spiritually uplifted, and everything seemed to be going well. Okay? Now come with me to today's reading. After 8 days, Jesus took this. He said this. He took Peter, John, and James with him, and he went up onto the mountain to pray. You might wonder why these three went together. Why not take all the disciples with him? Why just those three? Wouldn't it have been a good idea for all of them to have gone up to pray? And even Jesus had his inner group of very close friends. But this was not the first time these three were alone with Jesus. Not too long before this, those three alone went to a room to watch Jesus raise Jairus' daughter from the dead. Shortly after that, Jesus took these three alone to the side of Garden of Gethsemane to watch and to pray for them. What happened this particular time while they were alone with Jesus was nothing short of inspiring glory. You see, verse 29 says, As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became bright as a flashing light. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking to Jesus. To this point, we have to do something in imagining. We have to think. This scene was so incredible that the apostles had trouble even describing it. Luke tried to explain it by saying that looking at his clothes was like looking directly into the flash of lightning. Mark says that they were whiter than any bleach could make them. And Matthew says his face was like the sun, and his clothes were bright like light. How can we fathom this kind of glory? It was like looking straight into the sunlight, but then again, this was the one who created the sunlight. Moses and Elijah were there. They would have both been equally breathtaking. These were two of the greatest heroes of faith in all of the Old Testament. These two, you see, were great prophets. Now, here they were, standing next to and talking with Jesus. This must have been an inspiring glory for the disciples. I mean, Peter, James, and John almost blew it, because what were they doing? They were just about to take a nap and sleep. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they came fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. They almost completely missed this fantastic sight. Those disciples, also sleeping on the job. Remember those same three fell asleep three times in the Garden of Gethsemane? Then Jesus told them, stay awake, but they slept. When Jesus is clearly doing something special with them atop that mountain, they almost miss it because of sleep. We see more weakness in the disciples. As the men Moses and Elijah were leaving, Peter said to them, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters. One for one, one for Moses, one for you, one for Elijah. The emotions were running high. He saw Jesus' wondrous glory and said, this is great. Let's never leave. But he didn't know what he was saying. If they had stayed there with Moses and Elijah forever, Jesus would not have come down that mountain. If Jesus hadn't gone down that mountain, he wouldn't have gone up another one called Calvary. If Jesus didn't go up Mount Calvary, we wouldn't have a Savior. Jesus wasn't in the world to perform miracles and show glimpses of glory. Jesus came to suffer and die. They still didn't get it. But God gave them one more glimpse of glory. Verse 34. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and it enveloped them. And they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, this is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him. When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at that time what they had seen. Just as when Jesus started his ministry and was baptized, God spoke from heaven with approval. God commanded the disciples to listen to Jesus. Thus, Jesus took them atop the mountain to inspire the disciples. If we read this story carefully and consider how these events transpired, we begin to see that this transfiguration wasn't primarily for the disciples. This event was actually for Jesus, Jesus himself. Why didn't Jesus take all the other disciples with him, or the masses or the crowds that followed him? This event was for Jesus. But he was loving enough to let Peter, James, and John see what was happening. We also never read in any other gospel that the disciples heard what Jesus was saying, other than Luke's gospel. It says in verse 31, they spoke about his departure. They spoke about his death, his crucifixion. They spoke about his departure. Moses and Elijah weren't there for the disciples. They were there to support Jesus. That leads us to a fascinating question. Ready? Why was this special transfiguration atop this mountain, especially for Jesus? Why would Moses and Elijah need to talk with Jesus? The key is in verse 30 and 31. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Moses and Elijah were there talking with Jesus about what he was about to go through. What was going to happen when he came down the mountain? Now that we're here talking about Jesus and about his work, what do you think they said? I wonder. Perhaps, go on, Jesus, you can do it. Go down the mountain. Go do what you came to do in Jerusalem and Calvary. Go do what you promised. Your God promised us you would come. We had faith. We had hope in the Messiah. Now you are here. Just go do it. Fulfill your word. Save us. Save us from our sins. An accomplishment. Give us salvation. Then finally, God the Creator gives loving approval of Jesus. This is my Son whom I have chosen. It is as if God is saying, yes, Jesus, you are my Son. You are the one. You are the one I promised. You are the one I sent. I have chosen you to be the Savior of the world. If anything, today we see the gravity and weight of what Jesus was about to do. As true God, Jesus knew what was about to happen. But as a true man, he knew how much it was going to hurt. He knew as God that fists would bash his face, that whips would torment his back, that nails would pierce his flesh. But he knew as man, the agony awaiting of him would be torture. Jesus knew as God, the lies, the insults, and the mockery that was coming his way. But Jesus knew as man, how each word would sting and hurt. But he knew as man the burden of guilt and the weight of sin and the weight of desperation. It's no wonder that Jesus sweat drops of blood and he prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet it is also a wonder that he concluded, not my will, but yours be done. He knew God's will and he carried it out all the way to the cross for you, for me, and our forgiveness. It is for this reason that Jesus went atop that mountain. While this transfiguration event was explicitly for Jesus, the disciples weren't the only ones to be encouraged by it. So also today, our hearts leap for joy upon seeing the glory of the Lord. We certainly can relate to those disciples. Their faith lies where colossal roller coaster rides begin. One day, Peter, beautifully confessed that Jesus is the Christ. And what happens? The next day, he wants Jesus to camp with Moses and Elijah on a mountain instead of going to save the world. And then Peter sees the glory on the top of that mountain. And you know, the next minute, he's denying that he even knew him. Don't you find your faith life to be much like this sometimes? One day we are at church and filled with the Spirit and with joy. And the next day we are back in the stagnation of work and are depressed as ever about life's troubles. Sometimes we want the inspiring glory of Jesus. We want to see that radiant face shining like the sun. We want to see Christ our King and squash out our enemies. We want to see success and victories. How quickly, too, we can forget Jesus' real purpose. Jesus came not to give us victories, not to give us success in the world. Although we're grateful for those things, Jesus came to give us forgiveness and life in heaven. He told us that life in this world will be different and fulfilled with suffering. He told us that the troubles of life would help us focus on the riches of heaven. How thankful we can be for Jesus on this Transfiguration Sunday. Today we see Jesus as a true God with all glory, yet a true man who needs encouragement. Today we see Jesus who left that mountain of glory to go up a different mountain of shame. Today we see a glimpse of the inspiring glory of Jesus, which he now has eternity because it's a victory over the cross. God has shown inspiring glory to us today. We have received the light of the gospel of the glory of Jesus, who is the likeness of God. Jesus shines through the darkness, embodying the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. The Transfiguration reveals God's glory in Jesus, a beckoning of knowledge and light. No matter our circumstances, the Lord in whom we trust stands in inspiring glory. Amen.